You know, I'm amazed by the wisdom that the Holy Spirit has in store for us. Today we're blessed with the beautiful words of Jesus and also from the Apostle Paul. Very encouraging words for all of us. In today's Holy Gospel, Jesus says to each one of us, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." These words are a promise from Jesus to those that he loves. They're a shelter in the storm of everyday life. Comfortable words, to be sure. Now, some of those are the words that you hear me say, and I usually, when there's no pandemic, walk down the aisle, and those are the first words that I read from the comfortable words in our prayer book. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Yesterday, we celebrated July 4th, Independence Day for our country, and I can't help but be reminded of some of the words inscribed on the plaque at the base of the Statue of Liberty. And a part of the poem called "The New Colossus" by Emma Lazarus, which reads, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free." That's not all of the words, but most assuredly for me, some of the most memorable. Not by any measure as powerful or promising as the words of Jesus, but encouraging for me, for my grandparents came through Ellis Island. And they came by into our country as immigrants. Encouraging words on the Statue of Liberty that proclaims freedom for all of us, but not nearly as comforting as the words by Jesus. Not by any measure, but encouraging nonetheless. The human condition is this: we're born into a sinful and fallen world. And for that reason, we're always searching for comfort and solace. See, I was looking for solace already. But the good news is that comfort can only be found in one place: the promises and the love of Jesus Christ. And those words are only recorded in one place, and that is the Holy Bible, God's holy word. Now, the world loves to remind us how fallen we are and how broken we are. But Jesus wants us to know how loved and how precious we are, enough to give his life for us so that we might live for all eternity in his presence. That, my friends, is really worth celebrating. Like a shepherd who does not want to lose even one of his sheep, not wanting them to go astray, Jesus makes this precious invitation, especially for those who are not exactly feeling all that worthy. Have you ever had days like that? You look in the mirror and what you're looking at, you're not really happy with, because maybe you did something the day before? The words "weary" and "burdened" are all-encompassing for us. People who consider themselves far from perfect and who can't see themselves as worthy or even good. But instead, as I said, when you look in that mirror, you see a tarnished image, like silver. Chipped china, a dented can or fender. You see yourself somehow as damaged goods. But you know what? God sees a different image. The image that he sees is precious and of great worth to Jesus. And Jesus is asking anyone who is tired of carrying around shame for things that have been done in the past, things they don't want anyone to ever know about. We're feeling guilt for those actions, or even feeling that there's nothing that they can do to erase the past. Boy, does the enemy love to dig you with that. He has this big, long needle, and he loves to stick you with it to remind you of things that you've done. But Jesus says, forget them. Forget them. You know that there's no way I can feel good by myself, but to drop the shame and the guilt and the hurt and the pain right now can only come in one way, and that's to come to Jesus as he asks us to do. Jesus knows what it's like to be human, so that He makes a personal invitation for us to simply come to Him. Turn away from whatever it is that has us feeling less than worthy, has us feeling tarnished or damaged goods, and come to Him. His invitation is unconditional, just as His promise to provide rest. He's offering rest, coverage, protection, unlike any insurance policy. And a relationship, rest for your souls. He's offering a fulfillment of Jeremiah 6:16. God spoke through Jeremiah to find where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. We just heard the words of the good way. The good way is Jesus Himself, and He's offering fulfillment of those words. He is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6, He spoke those words on the night before He died. He's offering rest, eternal rest, not just for your broken, tired body, but for your spirit, for your soul. Jesus' rest covers all the things that we have been conditioned to think make us less than worthy, to even go near Him, to approach Him. His rest gives us new eyes to see ourselves as He sees us, and that He sees us as precious and of great value. Now, just 2 weeks ago, we heard in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 10, 29 to 31, where Jesus said, "Are not two sparrows sold for a cent, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows." My friends, one thing I know is absolutely certain. God does not make mistakes. He does not make mistakes, and He made all of us in His image and likeness. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." And He went on to say in that very same chapter, in the next verse, "God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female. He created them." Mankind was made in the image and likeness of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. As it is written, our image. Despite the presence of sin in our lives, and we are all sinners, in which Adam and Eve tarnished the image of God within themselves, and they passed that damaged likeness onto all of their descendants, as Paul said in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Today, we still bear the image of God, James chapter 3, verse 9. But sadly, we also bear the scars of sin. But again, there's good news. I don't mean to sound like an infomercial, but wait, there's good news. The good news is that when Jesus redeems us and we hear His call, He begins to restore that original image, that you may be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on a new self, which is the likeness of God, and it's been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth, from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. And that redemption is only available by God's grace, through faith in Jesus Christ as Lord. He calls us to be renewed from the sin that separates us from God, and He reminds us, the Apostle Paul reminds us, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and not by yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." It's through faith in Jesus Christ that we are all saved, not by our own works. And that means there's nothing that we can do, nothing that we can do to earn heaven. Any tarnished image that we see or feel about ourselves is transformed by our belief and faith in Jesus. Through Christ, we are made new creations in the likeness of God. Now, Paul reminds us, and hear these words, "Therefore," and this is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. This invitation by Jesus is far more than meets the eye. He offers to teach us as well. He's not just saying, believe in me and have a nice day. You remember this, the other words that he spoke. He offers for us to take on his yoke, submitting to him, the one who is gentle, meek, and caring, and concerned for each one of us. He's not just giving us a job to do or outfit us with a yoke and go along as our merry way as his follower, but he promises to be right by our side. I think you might find this illustration helpful. I've used this many times. There was an old farmer plowing with a team of oxen. He had one huge ox and one very small ox teamed together by a dual yoke. The big one towered over the little one that was sharing the work with him. In truth, the way that they're yoked, the big one is doing all the work, and the smaller one is not carrying any weight to speak of, but is being trained or broken in, learning how to do the job, just as Jesus says in today's Holy Gospel, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The way oxen are usually yoked is an equal load. But when we're yoked with Jesus, he bears the load, and we who are yoked to him share in the joy and accomplishment of the labor, but without the burden. Jesus became human and took on flesh so that he would experience the pain of being in human form, of what we experience in being less than perfect on earth. And so this special invitation is filled with grace, mercy, and love. What he offers comes from his own inner character, the character of God himself. His gentleness, his warmth is offered to those who repent. Repent meaning to turn away from our sinful behavior and to turn toward him. All of us who are weighed down by burdens, whether it may be moral, physical, or emotional, financial, or whatever, Jesus offers what he has in himself, encouraging us to believe that he will not stand over us waiting for us to mess up, waiting for our next big mistake. Instead, this invitation is an opportunity for us to see who God the Father really, really is, and to come into his loving and welcoming presence. He said time and time again, he will never leave us or forsake us. Now that's good news. I want to share with you what for me is one of the most encouraging statements in all of Holy Scripture. And it was read this morning by Pastor Sam. The Apostle Paul writes these encouraging words. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Hear those words next time you look in the mirror and think of the words, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amazing. When we make the decision to stop turning our backs on God, which is really what we do when we sin, and turn back to him in repentance, Jesus frees us from the shackles of sin that bind us. When we are in a real relationship with Jesus, then there is no condemnation. There's no need for us to continue to carry around any guilt or shame or burden, pain, doubts, or fear. For God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit have freed us. Just as we made a profession of faith in accepting Jesus as Savior, we need to accept the gift that he has for us in this rest, because greater is he who is in you than who is in the world. That's from 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Now, in closing this morning, in my daily devotions this morning, I came upon these words from the Apostle Paul from the very same chapter, chapter 8. But this is at the end of chapter 8. He writes this, "For I am convinced," and these words go right in today's world, in today's trouble and society and all the things that are going on. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Simply put, we are yoked with Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.